outsourcing of these jobs. So, you know, their hands are not clean here either, but it's a political factor where Obama has aligned himself with the Steelworkers Union in the past. He wants to, quote, give them something to show that he's sincere on this issue. So there's a whole political underside to all of this that has not been investigated by our media and which is not being talked about.
Well, before I put the next question to Mr. Ayers, we have enough time right now to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about this topic. We'll be right back.
Russia-China agreement. That hurts. And Russia-India agreement. Oh, that hurts so much. In the end, collapsing USA will have only allies in terrorist KSA and Israel. If... Surely USA could not have congratulated Chinese for theft of information and hacking on its country company's secrets. China needs to apologize and promise to end such thefts. The number one spy on Earth and the criminal invader asking for apologies about an alleged spying or invasion looks like a joke or contempt for others as well as the rule of law. What an unfair world we're living in. A thief calling someone else a thief.
Some of the comments posted on our Facebook page there. Let's go to Mr. Bob Ayers in London. Mr. Ayers, the views expressed there by some of our viewers there, people have been commenting, again, is expressing the idea of how the United States can actually criticize this, to what extent, considering the position it's in itself. Our guest in New York was telling us earlier there is a political underside to this. What's your opinion?
Well, I think it's interesting to note that the United States' complaint against China was not that China was using their intelligence collection organizations to collect national security information. That's a given. Every nation state has an intelligence organization that collects information about possible threats to their national security. That's the way the world works. What the United States' complaint was is a little more sophisticated, and that is that you're using your state functions, your state organs, to gather information for commercial purposes. In other words, you're trying to understand how, what the secret formula, for example, for Coca-Cola is, so you can copy Coca-Cola. And that's not national security. That's economic competitiveness. And under U.S. law, that's illegal.
Well, Mr. Schechter, the point here is that those who are against the United States position on this are saying that the U.S. has also done this. Part of its spying activities on U.S. citizens, they say, did involve commercial interests. Your opinion?
Well, it's interesting that they're indicting five members of the Chinese military for what is essentially an economic crime. Okay, I'm sure Mr. Ives would agree with me, or would agree with me about wondering why economic crimes against American citizens are not being prosecuted, i.e. the prosecution of bankers who are clearly had been part of all kinds of schemes that led to the financial collapse in our country. They've been treated gingerly. There are no FBI wanted posters for the CEOs of these banks, pretty much. There is a Swiss bank that's agreed that it has engage this in illegal activities, but no American banks. And this is, you know, also another layer of the hypocrisy here. You know, of course, you don't want to encourage intelligence agencies doing trade spying and economic spying. I would agree that that's something that really is should be a no-no, but it's more nuanced than is being suggested when Chinese companies are competing with American companies under Chinese law, not under American law.
Ms. Ayers, I want to, before we run out of time, go to the issue of how this is going to affect relations between the U.S. and China. We know that two-way trade already exceeds $560 billion. Can the U.S. afford to lose that? And will this row actually affect economic ties?
The row will not affect economic ties in the slightest. The U.S. and China are like a very old married couple that are squabbling and fighting, but they're too intertwined to separate. China holds too much paper on the United States. The United States buys too many goods from China. There's not going to be anything other than a little political posturing, but but business will continue just as it always has.
And the State Department spokeswoman has said, Mr. Schechter, if I may.
Wait a minute. It'll continue as usual, except, of course, this is opening and encouraging Mr. Putin to build a closer relationship with China and China with Russia. This can't be good for the United States. It's going to have negative consequences. Many American companies are privately saying that. I think it's an ill-considered move from the point of view of American interests. And also, besides the moral or hypocritical aspects of it.
Well, Ms. Ayers, we know that already friction exists between the U.S. and China over the territorial disputes that China has in the South and East China Seas. We know that the United States has not been siding with China on that. And now, today, we heard, at least, if I'm not mistaken, 49 agreements being signed between Russia and China. So don't you agree that this is going to affect U.S. interests?
That remains to be seen. I would suggest that it probably will not, for several reasons. One, the relationship between China and Russia is one of Russia's only export product is energy. And China will buy energy from Russia, just like the European Union buys energy from Russia. In terms of a political alliance, it's very doubtful. The Sino-Soviet split took place 40, 50 years ago, and the Chinese are not going to get back in bed with the Russians. As to affecting the United States' relationship with China, I don't see that happening. It's not going to occur. One thing that hasn't been pointed out yet in all of this activity is the reason the Chinese have been so successful in stealing information from American companies is that American companies are miserable when it comes to information technology security. They allowed themselves to be pillaged. They didn't have adequate safeguards in place. And it's as much their fault as it is the Chinese for walking in and stealing it.
And it's quite ironic, Mr. Schechter.
There's another aspect to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's another aspect to this that you haven't mentioned, namely that in the design of the internet, there were many proposals to introduce more encryption technology, which the NSA opposed. They wanted the internet to be free of all of that so that they could spy on people more freely. So in part, this is, you know, has its roots also in the way in which the NSA has related to the internet in the past. And you know, the situation where American companies are being vulnerable to this type of effort is in part because of the American government.
An implication there of the government. Mr. Ayers, do you think that is the case?
No, I don't. The government, interestingly enough, in the United States, the NSA does not have a statutory responsibility to protect the private sector from internet-based attacks. Under U.S. law, that's the responsibility of, in this case, the company who's the target to protect themselves. The U.S. law will prosecute criminals, but the United States government does not have the responsibility for protecting IBM or Lockheed Martin or Coca-Cola Corporation. The companies themselves are responsible for protecting themselves, not the NSA, not the U.S. government.
Mr. Schechter, you want to respond to that?
I think that that's very naive, all right? I think that's extremely naive. Have you ever heard of something called the military-industrial complex, where the interests of large American companies and the interests of the government and its intelligence agencies tend to march in lockstep with each other? In the real world, there is a lot of ways in which the government supports business and business supports the government. And there's a kind of an unholy kind of complicity that goes on there. To deny that exists because of certain statutory ideas, I think, is completely naive and not descriptive of the real situation.
Mm. Well, we've just got a few minutes left. I'd like to raise one question with Ms. Ayers, and I'll put the same question to Mr. Schechter. Ms. Ayers, as I was saying earlier, it's quite ironic that at this specific point in time, a summit was held in the U.S. in California on cybersecurity, and it was intended to set a positive tone for the relationship between China and the U.S. And someone was writing about it, saying that Beijing wants to call it a new model of great power relations. And that writer was concluding that cracks are already appearing on that model. Do you think this is about the U.S. trying to curb the power or influence of China?
I think the U.S. can curb the power or influence of China any more than they can of Russia or France or Germany, for that matter. The internet is not a battlefield in which the victor has the most number of tanks. The battlefield of the internet is one of the mind. It's an intellectual battlefield. As far as your previous speaker calling me naive, I've worked for 30 years in this business on the inside of government. I know how it works, I know how it functions. And if he's gonna sit back without any basis in fact and call me naive, he needs to be taken down a peg or two.
And Mr. Schechter, we just have enough a minute if you can.
Take me down all you want. Take me down all you want. I'm an investigative reporter. I've been investigating NSA abuses, as have many other investigative reporters. I suggest you read Glenn Greenwald's new book about the NSA and learn something yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I guess they're in New York, Mr. Danny Schechter, editor of MediaChannel.org, and a big thank you to a guest in London as well, Mr. Bob Ayers, former U.S. intelligence officer. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here on The Debate. From me, Homolezki, it's goodbye.